Okay. So hello, everyone. Yet another episode of Let's Talk Podcast. And you can see some familiar faces. And I was thinking to mention to these gentlemen that they are kind of a permanent member of the Security Council of Let's Talk Podcast. They are always gracious enough to accept my request for coming on the show and providing some sprinkle some wisdoms, because every episode is always a new thing, new learning for me, at least. And so thank you so much, Sukumar and Kumran, sir, for coming and having some conversation today as well.
You're welcome.
Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure.
Sure. So for the people who may be joining for the first time, we did have a couple of conversations back in the day. It may be about job opportunities, mindset, about storytelling, about some of the AI related conversations as well. That is it disrupting in terms of the negative side, which there are a lot of fear, human tendencies, right? A new thing comes and these AI will occupy the whole human space, and what we are going to do, how our job would look like, so on and so forth. So that is something which we discussed last time. Now we are also, as we transform from introduction of AI, some solutions and product, to getting into the sales side of the house. So a lot of organizations, and including Microsoft where I work, a lot of salespeople are trying to work towards like, what would be the strategy looks like? Because AI is not one product. It's an amalgamation of a lot of solutions and integration. So which means that there can be a new way of dealing, selling, buying, and those transactions, or it would be the same old fundamentals. And that is something which we are trying to expand and get some thoughts from both of you. So let's get started. Do you think the topic which we are going to discuss is it relevant, or this is just maybe a figment of my imagination? So maybe I can start with Sukumar. What do you think about this?
Obviously, it is relevant. I mean, AI is changing everything.
Yes.
I don't know if you all saw, Walmart has rolled out a software that negotiates on its behalf with the vendors.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's an AI tool. I think it's called Pivotal or something like that.
Oh, so is it like different from the normal chat box? It's more interactive?
No. You know, Walmart is notorious for how it negotiates with vendors. Now, yes, a bot is doing that, which I found fascinating.
Hmm.
Now, I'm thinking, if I'm on the other side, I will also want to build my own bot, and two bots will fight with each other. I don't know. So definitely buying and selling is changing. That's the point, yes, I wanted to make to you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is changing, so you should anticipate that this, and it has already changed. I think Walmart has rolled it out. I believe few other customers have also done it. And you might have heard of another infamous case where somebody bought, Chevrolet or something for $1.
Yeah, yes.
By hoodwinking the chat bot. So there is enough thing going on.
So you provided two things, basically. One is like the negotiation side, and the other thing is disrupting in a negative way, and maybe kind of what I would say, kind of, as you said, the hoodwink and trying to kind of buying for $1. So the question is, again, this is still evolving. What does a human being as a seller would think? As a seller, for example, I'm into a car sales, or I'm into maybe a chief negotiator. I have learned a lot of throughout the years about the human psychology, what negotiation tricks, tactics looks like. And this AI thing comes in and then trying to disrupt my whole career. So maybe, Kumran, what's your point on that, which just Sukumar sir has mentioned?
I talk about the doctor's mindset and the engineer's mindset. So let's say somebody sells you a Ferrari. How will they sell you a Ferrari? They will tell it to you, telling that, have this car. It's going to go from 0 to 90. Okay, in 3 seconds flat, if not money back. Can you sell AI solution like that? Can you sell Tylenol, telling your headache will go away in 5 minutes?
Yes.
Forget complex cancer drugs. I'm talking about Tylenol and headache. Can you sell a Tylenol telling your headache will go away in 5 minutes? 15 minutes?
15 minutes.
Half an hour. 10 hours?
Yes.
24 hours. You give me any time, nobody will take a bet telling that taking the Tylenol headache will go away. Even if I give them an infinite life, Tylenol company will not put on tag that in 3 months, if you take Tylenol, your headache will go away or money back.
Yes.
Tylenol won't do it. Forget other drugs. How Tylenol has to be sold? AI solutions has to be sold.
That's interesting. Can you expand that?
Don't sell it like a Ferrari. Don't sell. Don't try to sell it like a Ferrari. It won't sell. It'll crash and burn.
Got it. So what you're saying is obviously don't give a definitive answers in that perspective, what you mentioned from the Tylenol.
If I tell that to a Tylenol seller, that don't give a definitive answer. Imagine a pharmaceutical company like Johnson & Johnson, and then saying they are selling cancer drugs without giving a definite answer. They want to sue you. That's not the case. They do give definitive answers. But the way they give it, how they execute it, is very different from how a Tesla would do it. Both are scientific companies, both are engineering companies, both give definite answers, both give assurances, but how they do it is very different and the mindset is very different. All I can say for sure is engineering companies don't have what that it takes to be that. They have to learn it from scratch.
Okay.
You cannot do a left shift of, I've been selling this product, I'll sell this. So, for example, if I was selling pure software development, I could sell RPA. I could sell automation. But AI solution, you can't do that. It's not just a lateral shift. It is a different world. You got to step out of this world and go into another world. From solutioning, from value proposition, from quality assurance, from guarantee, from benefits measurement. Every single thing has to be thought through. It is an extremely big challenge. If somebody tries to sell AI solution like a normal engineering solution, it's going to be extremely hard, even if you sell delivering it. So I think that is that I see actually as a big challenge.
That's a big challenge. So basically what you're saying that whatever you have learned, as selling a particular product, wouldn't that
engineering
apply at
product
all? Engineering product. Okay. Product. So wouldn't that apply at all, or you have to take a lateral shift? And if the answer is yes, then do you have any examples? And again, that can be both of you.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to go to the medical companies and pharma companies and say, hey, how do you guys make a value proposition? How do you satisfy your customers? Obviously,
yeah.
A pharma company works a much bigger risk, right? People die. Here your mobile stops working. That's it. There people die. So the stakes are much higher. So they are playing a much dangerous game. Risk exposure is extremely high. How many times people have died because you had a bug in software?
Yes.
It's not the case with them.
But there are a few occasions like the AI in healthcare, which is coming up pretty fast, right? Where doctors, I read a book about like how the AI is disrupting in the way that quickly getting some answers to find certain procedures. Obviously, as you mentioned, they are always gray areas. You can say, but there's not one-stop solution, or you can say that this is exactly. And that's how you can see in ChatGPT also, it says that it may provide inaccurate answers, so you have to do your due diligence. So that being said, how exactly, Sukumar, like how exactly that AI in healthcare, where people are trying to work it out. What's your perspective in that? Like, when as a seller, how do I kind of provide some value proposition in those circumstances, in those areas where, again, it's a matter of life and death?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I've been looking at healthcare much closely. I recently did this post on my LinkedIn newsletter. See, they started doing this thing called ambient health documentation. See, the problem that hospitals faced is doctor is talking to a patient. There's a discussion, advice, whatever. That is, they, the doctors or the nurses had to key enter it later on. And it's always a cumbersome task, right? If you're typing it as the transaction is going on, it interferes with the patient, doctor, whatever, the relationship. You're looking at your keyboard, you're not looking at me, all that. Now, AI-based solutions have come in. It's automatically transcribing what the doctors are saying to the patient, and it's documenting everything automatically. Mm-hmm. I found this a fascinating example, because this is one thing that we have struggled. I've worked in hospitals. To get the staff to enter into the computer system is very hard. Rightfully so, because it distracts them from their core job.
Yes.
So many hospitals have tried employing staff to key enter this. So that cost keeps going up. So there's always, this has been a persistent problem in healthcare, in the provider area. So I saw this interesting use case of this ambient. You can Google ambient health documentation, and there is a number of companies coming into this.
Yeah.
Which points to the actual answer to the question that you asked. I would go after use cases that were not previously possible. This ambient health documentation couldn't have been done before without generative AI. So if you go into areas where you are able to do things that were thought not to be possible before, and in the last 1 year that in Tiny Magic we have been doing this, we have had a lot of success with helping clients spot opportunities which previously couldn't have been solved with the earlier generation of technology. So if you go after those, I believe selling would also become somewhat easier.
Yeah.
From what I have seen.
That's a very good
because
point.
Because you're tackling a new space. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a very good point, because I read that overall, I think in United States as well, there's billions of dollars are spent for those administrative work, as you just mentioned about. First, you have to go through the treatment, then write it down, and then there are different levels of administration. So that really simplifies through generative AI, listening and transcribing and all those things. So those are one of the good part in that perspective. And as a seller or as a person who is trying to sell the value proposition, do you think that they can articulate it in a way that this would be working as a tool, not disrupting or kind of displacing the job? So how, I mean, maybe, and this is for both of you, whoever would like to start, as a seller, how would I articulate those things to a person who is also concerned, like, and when I say a person is maybe a client or customer, who are concerned about, okay, but that's good. But what happened to the people who are already working? What happened to their jobs? So how exactly you try to create or provide a position on that side?
Kumaran, you want to answer that?
Let me think about that. I'm thinking.
See, the thing is, it's displacing of jobs by AI is going to be a threat. And as an amateur historian, I have to say, this is not the first time we are experiencing that.
Yes.
Horse carts gave way to automobiles. What happened to all the people that was driving the horse cart? What happened to all the typists when the computers, stenographers and typists when the computers came? So I think this is the natural order of technology. Only thing is, Gen AI seems so powerful that it can displace some jobs that we thought AI could never do. which is human creativity, human reasoning, human ability to create something, connect the dots. These were things we never thought computers could do. So that way, this poses a much bigger threat to jobs than anything else. But I would use this to, so productivity has always been a challenge in the corporate world. There is enough studies. You can look at Brinhoff's study from MIT, right? Yes. Every time a new technology comes, productivity doesn't increase as much as they thought it would. Because of the way change management, all of those things come into play. So there's a famous case. It took almost 40 years for the factories to come up with the electric motors when electricity came. When electricity came for the first time, they just replaced all the old motors with belts with a single electric motor at the front of the factory, replacing the steam-based motor. So this is how change works. So I believe that this, because of generative AI's ability, that it's not going to take 40 years. It's going to be that time period is going to get crunched. So not only is it a big threat, it is also coming at us very fast. So it might be a very stressful situation for many of us. And yes, it is going to take away some jobs.
So are other situations like Saurabh, you have been in, you do a lot of consulting with customers, right? How much time in 40 hours would you actually spend meeting customers, different stakeholders? Like, they have existing systems, right? One of your jobs will be understanding their existing systems, how it is, how is it designed, what are the constraints like that. You have to interview them, talk to them, look at them, right? How much time would you spend in a week, like out of 40 hours? Roughly 20%, 30%?
Yeah, max 20%, yes.
20% you spend. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the interesting question. So 20% is roughly 8 hours, okay? How much time do you spend getting those 80 hours? How much time do you wait before you get the 8 hours?
More than double, maybe.
That's all? When you say 8 hours, I think it will be at least 2 to 3 people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
On an average, you would have waited at least 3 days for each of them. Roughly.
Yes.
Sometimes it's more, right? That means your waiting time was 9 hours to get an 8 hour work done.
8 hours, yeah.
Okay. Did you get frustrated in those 9 hours?
Of course.
Did your energy increase or decrease?
Decrease.
Great. So at the beginning of the engagement, whatever enthusiasm you had, it went out by a person just waiting for that guy to come. And finally, when that guy showed up, whatever energy you had, it is gone down.
Yes.
Right. So is Saurabh the same X being there when the actual meeting happening, or it is Saurabh minus minus or something? Correct?
Yes.
Imagine this for an organization. Now I'll get to the point. Now that you understood this scenario. Now let's say there is a Gen AI solution where you don't have to wait. You can start doing your work from day one. There is a digital twin of the person who you wanted. It represents that person's wisdom, the system's wisdom, and you can start talking to it. It can only not talk to Saurabh. All the consultants who wants to interact with them, that can talk to them. Who lost any job? Did anyone lose a job?
No. But I'm not
sure. Is everybody more enthusiastic? Is the stakeholder on that side not getting bored explaining the same stupid interface and thing to 50 different vendors? Think of his plight. There is a RFP. 4 people are coming. He has to explain the same stupid requirement to 4 different people. He will be finished. He won't have any energy to do his work at the end of the week. I have done that. Been there. Who lost their job? Nobody. In fact, proper Gen AI solutions will increase productivity of people. The vendors will work better. The guys who are providing will work better. In fact, it will increase productivity. So this is why I was thinking, these kind of situations is where we need to look at Gen AI. There is no question of it eliminating a job.
That's a good point. I think those are some of the things of which are not generally highlighted. It's more fear mongering that it will replace us rather than taking it as a tool which can assist us in kind of optimizing our productivity. And again, as I think you mentioned, and
so this is what in Tiny Magic we call it as performance under surplus. It's not very intuitive. So you were below par performance because of waiting. That person is explaining to you, gives below par performance when he's explaining to you. God forbid if you are the fourth vendor doing the meeting. You are not going to get all the information. Okay, so all these performance under supplies get removed.
Good, good. So basically what you're saying at this point is, as a seller, you have to understand that how a particular solution which you are selling will optimize their productivity, rather than a customer or client is focusing on what would happen to the people.
It is not even optimizing. It was minus.
Yeah.
You are having negative productivity.
Hmm.
Saurav became minus minus on the first day of the meeting. That guy who's trying to explain his, he comes at a minus 20% energy. So we are talking about subpar performance, not even bare performance.
Yes.
So those will be very interesting use cases if we can, or solutions that we can identify.
Okay. So that's a very good point. Obviously, as you mentioned,
how do you find those points is the next question you ask. Use the hyper framework, find the bugs and trim tabs. You will get it.
So can
what
can
a you shameless just... plug. Only I can do it.
Yeah. So why don't you give a brief about that framework?
Sukumar is the so it's his right. His thing. He'll be more than happy to give it in as quick terms.
So since you asked the question about healthcare, Saurav, so building on Kumaran's point that we have to go after performance under supply, I've been making this observation that I haven't yet met a single human being that met their doctor per the appointment time that was set. Okay, I've never seen any human being anywhere in the world do this. We all wait. Go and sit in front of the doctor's office and wait. Why? Because doctor's time is precious. Whatever. The way the healthcare system has been designed, it has become like that. That's a performance under supply. Is it a problem? No. Because if it's a problem, all of us would have solved it. So performance under supplies are things that you accept as a feature of the system. So what we say is, to spot these things, you come with a new unimagined expectation, which is, I will not wait anymore for my doctor. I will precisely show up the minute the doctor entered the previous case. My appointment time has come. I go into my doctor's office. I don't wait at all. Nobody waits. And the doctor is not wasting that time, which is the real expensive resource there, right? So with generative AI, can I create a system that will do this?
Okay. So in a crux,
so to Kumaran's point, would it have freed up the productivity of millions of people who waste their time sitting in the doctor's office waiting for their turn, flipping the old magazine, dog-eared magazine for the nth time?
And you scale it, right? And then it becomes a larger, and it's have a cascading effect. So that's a very good point about the performance overall. It's not a problem, but it's the keep on piling up cascading effect of the performance, and that becomes a kind of a way of life. And as you mentioned about waiting, and that is, I think, global anyways. So here also the same thing.
I have served on the board of a hospital network. So I went and talked to the administrators as to why it is orchestrated this way.
Got it.
And then obviously they had their reasons, right? You want to go and meet the specialist doctors who are the best at what they do. Obviously, that time is at the premium. So they don't want these doctors to be waiting for the patient to come. So it is more prudent, much like how the airlines overbook their aircraft. Because it's a precious resource, you don't want an empty seat, so they will overbook it. So I see this is what Kumaran was alluding to. This is a performance undersupply, not a problem. Because when you are in this situation, you don't see it as a problem. You see it as that's how the healthcare network works. There's nothing you or I can do about it. We could be, what do you call it? You could come, I mean, you could be frustrated, irritated, but you can't really do anything about it. So we have all been conditioned to accept it. So we have studied over 1,000 disruptors to say that all disruptions happen from this pattern of a performance undersupply, which is an unperceived problem, not an actual problem. Because what is already perceived as an actual problem would have been solved by now. So you go after things that people don't even see as a problem. And my famous example is Uber. None of us thought that waiting for the cab in the corner of the street, trying to hail them down is a problem. Which is where it was with us for.
Yes.
In fact, my research shows that we have been having that problem since we were hailing horse carts and bullock carts. So 700, 800 years we have had that problem.
Yes.
Before two people came and spotted it and said they challenge it and build out Uber.
Yes. Okay. So I think you have provided a few points, and I think the key, the highlight is the performance under supply. Which I think that word itself, sellers, people who are listening here can take it and kind of expand to the industry where they are working and try to find out like how to articulate that performance undersupply in the organization they are working. So now maybe try to find some kind of a next step. So for example, as you mentioned that these are some of the problems, or not even problems, like performance undersupply in healthcare, maybe in airlines or any other industries as well. If you are selling these Gen AI products, you understood the performance under supply. What is the next step for you to gather some more evidence before you show in front of the client to make it a more compelling argument that this is, because again, as we discussed, there are some preconceived notions, apprehensions for the client because AI is new and you don't know how much research they have done and the way how the media is depicting AI in certain way, in a negative way. So they have those common questions as well. So again, the question is, what is the next step after identifying the performance under supply,
actually,
which may be
the common thing? Once you get the performance under supply, let's say I'm going to send a Gen AI solution. Okay. And let's just take the doctor waiting time. I walk into a customer and then say, hey, is there anything that you can do to reduce the waiting time? They'll say, no, I can solve it for you. That's all. It's very simple. Okay. Now they will say, I have a Gen AI solution. I figured that Gen AI solution does hallucination. It is not accuracy. Yes, sir. Very true. I can guarantee 30% accuracy, which means at least 3%, 10 of 3 of your patients won't wait. Do you have a problem with that? Not all the 10 have to not wait. Yes. At least 3 won't wait. You are at 0 to wait.
Yes.
It's very simple, actually. That's the beauty of selling a performance under supply. You really don't have to sell. It sells itself. And the other problem of Gen AI about accuracy and hallucination goes out of the window. Because today it is at 0. 30% accuracy is, can you guess how much percentage better that is? 3,000%. 3,000% efficiency.
Yes. So that actually got me one more question around. So as you mentioned that the patient waiting time, what happens if the doctor said that that is the way we always work, and I don't see any problem. What you're trying to sell me is something which I don't deem as a problem. So then from the seller perspective, okay, how do you persuade?
No problem. Yeah. Don't sell it to him. He says, I don't mind my patients waiting. Screw his happiness. Fine. Okay. Mm. You are not my customer. Go look at the next customer. That clearly is not your customer. That's not your customer. No.
Mm.
So you're barking the wrong thing. I wear a pink, purple and yellow and green color hat for official meeting. Hmm. You are coming and telling me, Kumaran, you are going for a board meeting. Don't wear that hat. I have a formal hat that you can wear. I will say, no, I will wear this only. You should say, Kumaran, your funeral, go make yourself like a joker in a board meeting. That's all. You don't have to struggle to sell that hat to me. I am not your customer. Go find another person who can sell it.
Hmm.
There will be people like that, because I have seen, for whatever reason, they are telling, they will wait. What is your problem? I don't want to invest money. Well, it's their choice. Who am I to say, no, you should not feel like that. You should treat your patient with care. They don't want to treat them with care. Fine. I can't sell it to them. That's all. That is not a selling proposition. Okay. Mm. That is qualification of a lead problem. If you don't have a good qualifying mechanism in your sales process, then you rut into that. It's not a sales value proposition problem. It is a sales lead qualification lead problem.
Qualification.
Not Gen AI. No solution can actually do it if that is weak. You will try to sell everything to every customer and you'll waste your sales energy.
Yeah. So basically following the 80-20 rule. And try to focus on 20% of the customers, because they will get 80% of your revenue and not everyone.
Yeah. Correct.
So, in fact,
qualification of sales also is very easy in this case.
Yes. So what do you think about the qualification Kumaran mentioned? And at the same time, if you're in that organization that you have to persuade, because this is one of our biggest clients. The question is, they are not interested. Now, how to make it interested is...
So I like that. Right? Thanks. So, I didn't have to answer that question.
Because you already answered. So now the...
Yeah.
I try to see what's Sukumar's perspective on that.
They are not like interested. A bulldog, Saurav, will not let go. You have to answer this. Right. I think it's a good question. So you... To Kumaran's point, you choose the clients who are favorable, right? Who are okay, they want to buy. And within that segment, there may be some of them who may say, hey, show me. Yeah, I'm interested, but show me.
Yeah.
Which again, generative AI offers us the possibility to build a prototype very quickly. This is becoming another shameless plug, but we are doing this thing we call imagineering at warp speed. We are able to build these prototypes using generative AI in like few hours. So we help our clients envision, find the performance under supply, build the prototype in like few hours. So you can go, you don't have to spend a lot of money to build the prototype, which used to be the other problem, right? Say a client is interested, they say, show me the money. Oh, it's going to take me 1 year to build it out. By then, the interest is lost. Now I can build these prototypes quickly and go show it to customers who may be interested, who just need a little bit of a nudge to push them to my side. I can do that much better in the generative AI world.
Okay.
Previously, I couldn't have done it. At this speed, no. Because the code itself gets generated. The entire application, the prototype, potentially could be generated. Yeah, you just have to go step by step and tweak it. But for the most part, the coding work is done by generative AI.
Okay. So
Go ahead. Kumaran wants to say something.
Yeah, yes.
No. I didn't have any.
So what I was trying to say is, so the performance under supply and spotting that leads to a, you can think of it as a disruptive innovation, right? It's a new type of imagination. You think engineering has been kind of slow. It takes time building software, all of that. With generative AI applied to that side, you can become disruptive in your engineering capability also.
Okay.
So you become faster on both sides. So you leverage the creativity of generative AI. So you can generate ideas and spot opportunities much faster. Much, much faster. It is so fast that you can do it in like short order. In fact, we have already rolled out such tools on our agents page. You are welcome to try them. You give it the job, it will tell you where the opportunity is in your job.
That sounds pretty fascinating because that's where I was. I wrote an article as well about understanding the key performance indicators, right? So that you talk in the language of the customers. Obviously, you can have all the bells and whistles of the product, but if it doesn't resonate with their requirements, so there's no use. So in that perspective, does your prototype works on like extracting those KPIs and then kind of spit out the outcome? I'm just kind of interested in the way you mentioned about the speed of the prototype, how exactly that works out, maybe on a high level. Yeah,
I'll give you an example, Saurabh, because it's, I think, getting a bit abstract, right?
Yes.
2 weekends ago on a Saturday, 2 days prior to that, in one of our programs, generative AI programs, one of the mentees generated an idea of a visual inspection tool for a shop floor in a manufacturing company. We were all thinking about that. Saturday morning, I had this inspiration. Why not I build an application? So my idea was the people on the shop floor will walk around with their iPad, okay, and they will have an Apple Pencil also. As they spot the defect, they will mark it, annotate it, put the arrow mark, whatever, right? And now you can send it off to the back end, to the defects, all of that. How much time do you think it will take me to build such an app? I don't know any JavaScript. I don't know how Apple iPad, Apple Pencil support can be built in. I've never done that before. How long do you think this would have taken? In fact, if I had gone to a technical engineer, they would say, sorry, this cannot be done. I don't have the skills. So how much time would I have taken?
I would say it's a long time. First of all, you have to get the right people. That is also the lot of blind spot, right? Before getting to the technology, you have to understand who are the right people and motivated people on the first to get those things.
A long time.
Yes.
Believe it or not, I was able to build this in under 3 hours. It's a working app. I will send you the link after the call. If you have an Apple iPad and a pencil, you can play with it. So this is what we are talking about. How much faster I can bring my vision to life so quickly that it is unbelievable.
Okay. So I think that goes with that. One of the philosophy which I have as well is the velocity of the solution, which I always mention that whenever we are trying to persuade something or explain something to our clients, we have to get all the right people on board on those meetings instead of getting, oh, I'll get back to you, because the momentum is lost. As Kumran also mentioned about, when you come back for second or third meeting, you never know what happened in between. A lot of motivation has lost. Maybe some other vendor came and provided a quick solution. Now you are just sitting there to end their presentation, and then now it's your turn to say, I'll get back to you, which never happens.
Yeah.
Yes. So
velocity is a good word.
Yeah. So I think that's a very good part. So what you are saying is, in a crack. So what we are saying in the way is, first identify the performance undersupply, persuade people if still they haven't seen. As Kumran mentioned, that obviously don't go. This is not a quality lead. But in case in certain sellers they say no, we have to, because that is the way. The big customers, then you have to find those ways to quickly provide some solutions to make them at least think about, this is something no one has presented me that may give a lot of. So basically, just like as the iPhone came, right? iPhone was not a requirement. People were happy with whatever the phone they have, Blackberries and L.
Yeah.
But it created a necessity without, like, that was not a problem at that particular point in time.
It's a great example of performance under supply. That's what I'm saying. We studied 1,000 disruptors, more than 1,000 disruptors. All of them follow performance under supply and not problem. It's one of our biggest findings.
Yes, yes. So I think today, I don't, because we can go on and on, but I just want the listeners or viewers to take a couple of points and try to expand. And then maybe if someone reach out to me for further questions, maybe we can expand it. So before we end this, anything you would like to add, which we have not discussed or maybe important from the value proposition or seller's mindset on AI at this point?
Umara?
No, learn. I mean, yeah, if it isn't so obvious, it is like, stop being an engineer. Try to think like a doctor or a person selling pharmaceutical things. I think that's a very key point.
Good point. Yeah. So basically assess before, diagnose before providing a pill to a patient.
Yeah. So the one thing I wanted to mention on that whole negotiation thing, there's a professor, Ethan Mollick from Wharton. You can follow him. Mm-hmm. So he developed this thing he calls the negotiation tutor. So he was able to build a GPT using which you can tutor yourself in the art of negotiation.
Okay.
I played with it and I was surprised how well it would coach me on my negotiation skills. So this is a use case that, yeah, I could have done practice with a human being, but where am I going to recruit the human being in time when I need to negotiate a deal, all that, right? This opens up a completely new possibility for learning. Again, something that we couldn't have done before easily. So this is the other aspect that you can use ChatGPT as a partner in your creativity, in your learning, self-paced learning, all of that that we have generally struggled with, right? All we have been able to do so far is instructional videos.
Yeah.
We have not been able to create something where it's giving me coaching. It says, yeah, you did that well, but you missed this aspect of how to negotiate with your customers. It is like very good.
That's a great point because, yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so these are the kind of possibilities, new kinds of things, which goes to the original point Kumaran and I made. Go after things that we have not been able to do so far, which means the impact to the jobs is less. See, if when I want to learn negotiation, I am not going to recruit a negotiation tutor. That job didn't exist. Right? On-demand negotiation tutor. There's nobody like that in that job. So this is a new job that ChatGPT is able to fulfill, which is adding real value to me as a student of negotiation.
Just taking Sukumar's point forward, right? I have a headphone here. I have a mobile phone here. It is listening and telling me, now tell this. Now tell this. Now tell this. It doesn't even have to be a mentor. Yeah. I will just be a speaker. It will listen to the other guy on that side. It will do and then tell me, now tell 3 rupees more. Now tell him this offer. I just have to listen to it and tell.
Yes.
I don't even have to be a mentor. Whose job did I take? Forget mentoring. No need mentoring. It will do the job for you.
Yeah, correct.
That's right. I think that, so just as we about to end, I think you mentioned about the negotiation and that sparked some ideas about, I know in ChatGPT as well, there is options, right? Where you negotiate. So for the sellers who are trying to work on these AI solutions, they can use different benefits. As you mentioned, you have a prototype. They can use that and try to ask certain questions which you might think from the other side of the fence client would ask, and try to ask those questions. See what ChatGPT or other GPTs you mentioned from that professor, they respond, and try to already get those answers which people might ask. I think that is one of the way how most of these sellers work, so that it's not a surprise for them or it's not a gotcha moment that, oh, this is something I didn't. And that's where you try to make a very compelling argument from that perspective. So, and the last thing is, I think I saw a video which mentioned that when someone asks you that maybe in an auditorium, can you find some green color? They try to find those colors, but if afterwards they say, oh, have you seen red or orange? No, because they were only seeing the green color. So it depends on what you're looking at. AI can have a lot of negative things, but when you try to make sure that you understand the positive side, and more so thinking that how you would be on the other side and questions would be there, talk about the positive nature of that. That makes a lot of difference. So that being said, gentlemen, thank you so much for our conversation. Actually, we got a good insight, at least I got it. And I would be curious to the people who are watching or viewing, what's their perspective? Would that help? Or if there are some more questions, or maybe I have to ask much more difficult questions to you guys, if it's not already difficult to kind of get some more persuasive answers. One last thing, actually, I would say that those prototype and framework which you guys mentioned as a shameless plug, I would say without any shame that I can definitely add it as a part of our show notes so that people who are genuinely interested would like to get into that. So please forward me those links as well, yeah. And I can add it to our show notes.
We'll do that.
Cool. So thank you so much.
By the way, the color experiment you talked about, Saurabh, Kumaran does that experiment in almost every program we do.
Oh, is it? Oh, so he stole my idea then, or I stole his.
Yeah.
He has been doing it for 9 years. So.
Oh, okay. So maybe I'm reading your guy's mind, like what, how you think, and I'm trying to incorporate already. So yeah, that's.
I think probably we both read the same book or saw the same thing. It's not my own. Yes. I don't remember who, but if I remember right, it comes from a cancer survivor called Anita Nurani or something. That's where I heard it first.
Okay. I don't recall from
the core of it. It was not exactly this way. It was in a slightly different way, but then I modified it. But she was actually, what was her name? Anita Noor something, right? Mm. So she's a cancer survivor. And from her only, I got the inspiration for this. And then I tweaked it, how that you can do it in 30 seconds before I do a program.
Cool. Then maybe I'll be one of the partners in your organization and try to. But anyways, that was my my job pitch for you guys. But anyway, just kidding. So thank you so much again, gentlemen, for your time, and see you soon.